as the alarm kicks in for another day.
From the moment your feet hit the floor,
we've got all you need to know before heading out the front door.
Live from just around the corner,
to make the feel-good last,
this is Michael for breakfast.
Hey, it's Michael, and this is the perfect place to catch up on anything that you missed out, or if you want to hear extended chats. We've got three of the best on the way from this week. We'll be catching up with the team at CoreLogic because there's great data around the fact that the Southwest is just booming when it comes to real estate. Our good mate Leah is dropping in as well because Aldi are dropping their very own athleisure wear. And would you wear it? That's the big question. Would you actually put it on? And to get things started, how about none other than Glenn Jakovich? That's right. The West Coast Eagles legend himself. We caught up with him because he'll be coming to the Southwest very shortly. And so let's just get into it. Don't forget to join us on socials as well and use that text line anytime. It's still there, even in podcast form, 0480-97400. But here he is, the West Coast two-time premiership, AFL Hall of Famer, the one and only Glenn Jakovich.
Good morning, Michael. Great to be on the program again.
Now, we're very excited because you will be in the Southwest. Tuesday's 16th of April, coming to South Bunbury Footy Club along with John Worsfold and Mick Malthouse. Some Eagles legends in our very own backyard. It's very exciting, and we love these nights when we get to interact with, you know, stars of the game such as yourself.
Yeah, certainly looking forward to probably visiting one of the most favourite, country footy clubs in the South Bunbury Footy Club, home of Trevor Nesbitt, I believe. I think he played a bit of football down there, and even Leon Baker, one of the great Western Australian champions who was travelling around Australia, and he stopped, I think, to South Bunbury, had a kick, and the next minute ended up at Swan Districts and then ended up at Essendon. So it's a pretty famous club, the South Bunbury Footy Club. Lovely people, great management. So on Tuesday the 16th, I'll be interviewing Mick Malthouse and John Worsfold on the back of our 30th anniversary, which is the 1994 Premiership, which we'll be celebrating this year. We've got a number of events that will be happening during the course of this footy season, and that's one of the first ones that we'll be kicking off, just telling tales of what a probably, an interesting yet successful year that 1994 was, but it was more so the journey and then finally getting there on that last day of September, playing in our third grand final in 3 years under Michael and John's leaderships. And a couple of funny old stories too, which will be of the old fella, Mick Malthouse. He's mellowed a little bit, so we can... I can push a few buttons now. I did a couple of weeks ago, and he looked at me with that look that I remember back in the early days, and but he was okay about it. So, yeah, get on down. It's going to be a great night.
That 1994 Premiership, you know, it was the second one that you had won, but you were only 21 years of age at the time. So you saw some success, like, very early in your career. You had a lot of games, though, under your belt by that 94 Premiership. So where did you sort of stand in the team? Were you still considered one of the kids, or did you have a bit of like a bit of a leadership role for some other younger guys?
Yeah, pretty much I was at that stage. Now, if you want to, you know, say that I'd finished my apprenticeship, I was in my fourth year under, Mick's reign and that great era. My first 4 years, I played off in three grand finals. So that was just an unbelievable experience for a young guy like myself, Mitchell White, Ashley McIntosh, Jason Ball, who played in that premiership as well, Drew Banfield, who was, I think, in his second year, may have been only his 20-odd league game that he was playing, happened to be a premiership. So, yeah, it was probably that middle-tier group of guys that, you know, Mick started to forge and push a bit more of a leadership to me and Ashley, and especially Mitchell White, who was the vice captain of the club later on in years. So, I mean, Mick always challenged you, no matter if you. Saying was, he threw your birth certificate out the window the moment you crossed the white line. So he didn't want to use your age or your youth as an excuse. He used that probably more as an advantage for you to fast track your development, but more importantly, hold a key position in a big game.
So how do you think Mick would feel with, you know, the current West Coast squad that, you know, there are a lot of young guys, but if his motto was to sort of throw that out as soon as you cross the line, would he want a bit more from them at the moment?
I definitely, I did this same event in the city pre-season with Mick and John, and he was pretty frustrated and had a pretty strong opinion where he felt the club was at and where the playing list was at. So he'll at least, that's one of my questions that I'll put him under the microscope. But in a short on this interview, he's not happy seeing where the club's at. And even though he's been out of the game for a while, he's still very wise and he's very sharp on the modern game.
And this is what we love with these nights. We get insight into, you know, great minds of footy. We get to hear great stories from yourself and Woosha. And we're really looking forward to having you in the Southwest, Glenn. So Glenn Jakovich, John Worsfold and Mick Malthouse, Eagles legends, South Bunbury Footy Club. That's at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, the 16th of April. Glenn, thank you so much for catching up with us today.
Thanks, Michael. And I'm looking forward to getting down to South Bunbury again.
Men are from Mars.
Women are from Venus.
But these two are from another planet altogether.
What planet are you from?
It's Triple M's He Said.
I mean, what?
She Said.
Oh, classic She Said, She Said. Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah?
There's some strange things happening in the world that's definitely out of space. Out of planet. Not from from another planet.
From out of this world.
Yeah. Have you seen some of this stuff? The merchandise that businesses are creating?
It's next level. And it's, I feel like people want to wear their favourite brands splashed across them.
But, caveat, is Aldi one of those brands? Yesterday, we got notified that the wonderful Aldi, which has a cult following, we all know and love. Do you shop there?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're not in fandom.
They say in their own ads, they're like, we know we're not your first.
Yeah, you know, true. Like, you are a fan because you know the ad. Anyway, we digress. But they've released an athleisure range. So I'm talking a nice pair of Aldi socks, shoes, sweats, what do you call the top thing? Jumper?
Yeah, some of them are jumpers, some of them are hoodies.
Yeah, you know, something to wear to the gym, on a run, on the school pickup.
Or maybe to an Aldi.
Yeah, to an Aldi.
To grab some milk and bread.
So it's with it. Would you wear any of these things? When you were looking at the pictures, some of them look
all right. Yeah. It looks all right. I don't mind the shoes, actually.
Yeah.
White sneakers with like the Aldi colours as the eyelets and blue soles.
Yeah, they were cool.
They look pretty fresh.
Love the socks with the Aldi colours as the some bands around the top, white.
The models look like they're having a great time as well, because they actually got a mature model to show that these clothes can be for any. This sounds like a plug, but it's not,
it's
all right?
Not.
This is not a plug for Aldi, because I think they can do it because it's off the wall. It's a bit off kilter, you know. Other brands might not suit so well. Like a JB Hi-Fi, we're like, wear us bright yellow, you know.
Ooh, that's not good.
And
for
you'd
skin
look
colours.
Like you work there as well, because they dress very casually at JBs.
Yeah. You'd look like a banana.
Yeah.
Is it B1 or B2? I'm not sure. It is interesting, though, because so there was an April Fool's joke that the ABS, so the Australian Bureau of Statistics, if you don't know.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big fan. But they did a joke. They released, said that they're going to release a whole range of athleisure sportswear. And I have to admit, when I was looking at their, like, spoof advertising, it looked pretty nice. There was, like, a couple of caps that said, I love stats. I just loved it.
I think it has to be that. I think it has to be a little bit more off the wall, a little bit wilder really work. Like, I'd love the ATO to come out with something, and it should all be tax deductible.
Yes! You know,
it drops June 30. Good.
You know who would be great at merch that we should, not just merch, sorry, athleisure wear.
Yeah.
Because it is the difference, right? A lot of companies have merch.
No, but we want like full kit.
Yeah. Like somewhere like DFES, the Department of Fire and Emergency Services, and it's all like red and there's like a poof, there's a flame, or there's like a firefighter on the back putting out the flame. Stuff like that would be awesome. But yeah, is it too far? I'm not sure. But because we've probably got some fans of Aldi in the crowd. So if you are you out there, do you like Aldi? Would you buy this stuff?
Aldi athleisure wear?
Or is there something else maybe?
Yeah, is there a brand that you're hanging out for to jump on the bandwagon?
Yeah, maybe it's Maya. Maybe you want a full range.
No, that just seems really like bougie, you know, like where.
David Jones would be bougie. Get it right.
Even more so. Yeah. But Maya's like I don't know anyone that shops at Maya except for my dad because he's convinced they have better jeans.
Okay, that's interesting. We can talk about that in another time. But it's a wine label. That would be fun.
That'd be good.
I would eat that up. I would be decked out in my wine drinking pants and my wine drinking
shirt.
What
are your favourite, like, wires across your butt? Yes. On your sweats.
Yeah. With my bottle and I'm all matching, I'm ready to go. And the merchandise glass. Oh, it's perfect.
Get in touch. 0800 97 400. Joining us on the line now from CoreLogic is Eliza Owens. Morning, Eliza.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on because very, like, big news, I guess, here in the Southwest because we seem to have gotten a little bit of focus as we have the highest increase for any area in regional WA when it comes to home value index. Can you tell us quickly, what is the home value index?
The home value index is an index number that basically tracks the entire value of a dwelling market, whether that's national or the southwest of WA or the state, kind of like the index numbers you'd see on the ASX 200. So it's basically tracking the value of the housing market as if it's one big portfolio. And what we've found for regional Western Australia, but also the state more broadly, is that it's really been leading growth with values across regional WA sitting about 12% higher over the past year.
So what do we think is the main driver of that? Are we seeing people come out of the metropolitan area, or are we seeing people from interstate?
Yeah, I think that interstate migration is a big part of it. So if you look at Western Australia more broadly, the historic decade average interstate migration position has been a loss of 96 people per quarter. But in the September quarter of last year, the data had shown a total flip, and there were over 2,000 people that had entered WA after taking account for those who had left. That extends to regions like Bunbury as well that have had positive net internal migration and overseas migration, which is really contributing to the increase in demand for housing as well.
There is an increase in demand, absolutely, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of, I guess, sort of new housing. Is that creating like a pressure in that there's only so many properties to buy?
That's right. I mean, we're talking about a shift in demand that is way above historic averages. So it's going to take time for the supply response to adjust to that, especially in an environment where you've got relatively high interest rates, which means new developments aren't as sellable or attractive to investors. Land costs are high, which also squeezes the premium on building new property. And we've seen things like an increase in material costs and labor shortages, which have contributed to this squeeze on new supply as well. So it does kind of come back to the supply and demand argument, but at very extreme levels.
Are we able to see any insight into any trend around if these are sort of, you know, record highs on value and on demand in areas that, you know, haven't typically experienced this? Does that push people that are local out of the market, or can we glean any sort of information to do with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think anecdotally you hear a lot about that, and it just makes sense, right, that people would get priced out of markets if they've been a resident for a longer period of time. Because what you'll find is that the people who are able to bring a lot of wealth and outbid locals are people who are coming from maybe wealthier parts of the country or even within the state, where they might be buying a second home or an investment, and they can use equity from an existing asset or property to contribute toward that purchase. Not only that, but areas of the state and areas of Australia will have higher income levels as well. That also bids up property values when people move to the area or decide to invest in the area.
So with all things, I guess it's sort of like swings and roundabouts that it's really great if you already own property in the region to have the value increase. But if you're trying to sort of get into the market, It's a bit of a tricky time at the moment. Do we see a trend of it continuing upward or reflecting downward in the future?
Yeah, so since the onset of the pandemic, if you take Bunbury as an example, the median dwelling value has gone from about $375,000 to $615,000 as of March 2024. So that's an unbelievable windfall for people who have held property in the area for a relatively short period of time. As you say, it also means that people who might have thought a few years ago that they would buy in Bunbury, that it's just become completely out of reach. So, look, when we look at the short-term outlook, there's no real sign of it slowing down. If anything, the monthly change across the Bunbury region has gotten faster, and also that extends to the broader southwest and regional WA markets. It's not as if growth has shown much sign of slowing down on a month-to-month basis. It seems to be moving higher or holding pretty firm.
Liza Owens from CoreLogic, thank you so much for jumping on and taking us through all the updates, and we'll see what happens with the market in the future.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by for a little bite of brekkie. You can catch my full shows from 6 a.m. weekdays, and don't forget to follow us across all the socials, and you can even join the Everything Southwest group on Facebook, as that's a great way for you to get in touch. So I'll catch you through the week. We'll be back here for another bite of brekkie.